One of the pioneers in the research was a company incorporated in Detroit by a European immigrant named Victor Janus. The parallels with Kovacs' work were too weird to be true. What do you know about Janus? Not a lot. Money can buy anonymity. He was supposedly Romanian. His lab was in Detroit and he lived in Grosse Pointe. He must have run whenever he saw a camera, but he couldn't hide the fact that he was a generous philanthropist. His wife was mentioned in the local society pages. There was a birth notice of their child, a son, who died with his wife in a car crash. A dead end, literally? That's what I thought. But Janus had a granddaughter. I referenced her name and struck gold. She had done a graduate thesis about woolly mammoths. The ancient elephants? What's that got to do with Kovacs? Stay with me. She maintains that the mammoths were wiped out by a natural catastrophe that was a more devastating version of what we're trying to do. Here's the interesting part. In her writing, she said that had this happened today, science would have been able to neutralize the catastrophe.
The antidote?
Barrett snorted. You're kidding. Margrave retrieved a portfolio from the table and tossed it into Barrett's lap. After you read this, I think you'll change your mind about the project. What about the granddaughter? She's a paleontologist working with the University of Alaska. Gant and I decided to send someone up there to talk to her. Why not hold off on the project until we find out what she knows? I'll wait, but I want to get all the pieces in place so we can hit the ground running. Margrave turned to Doyle, who had been quietly absorbing the discussion. What do you think about all this?
Hell, I'm just a dumb air jockey from Southie. I go with the flow.
Margrave winked at Barrett. Spider and I will be busy for a while.
I got you. I'll grab another beer and go for a walk.
After Doyle left, the two other men huddled over a computer. When they were satisfied their plan had gone as far as it could, they agreed to meet again. Doyle was puttering around the dock when the meeting broke up.
I appreciate you changing your mind about leaving the project, Margrave said to Barrett. We've been friends a long time.
This goes beyond friendship, Barrett said. They shook hands, and minutes later the plane was skimming across the bay for takeoff. Margrave watched until it became a speck in the sky, then he went back into the lighthouse. He stared out the second-floor window for a moment with a smile on his strange face. Barrett was a genius, but he was unbelievably naive when it came to politics. Despite his assurances, Margrave had no intention of delaying the project. If ever a time existed when the end justified the means, it was now. Incredible, Barrett said with a shake of his head. He sat in the seaplane passenger's seat, his nose buried in the portfolio Margrave had given him. Doyle looked over.
Good stuff Triss gave you?
Good. This material is fantastic. Barrett raised his head from the papers he had been engrossed in and glanced out the window. He had paid little attention to the world outside the cockpit and expected to see the same rocky coastline they had followed on the flight to the lighthouse island. There was no sign of the Gulf of Maine. Instead, thick pine forest spread out in every direction.
Hey, Mickey, did you have one beer too many back there? Barrett said. Where's the water? This isn't the way we came in. We're lost.